John from the Free Gift from God podcast. I'm continuing on with the Salvation Road section. In this first walk of the five walks that I identified in Salvation Road was about walking without Jesus. Now, this session is all about what is sin. Now, anyone who's walking without Jesus clearly is walking in sin. So we need to learn and understand just what sin is and also what sin isn't, because there are some things people call sin that aren't sin and some things that is sin. So the objectives to come out of this session is to understand what sin is and what it's not, and to see why sin is an issue and how God feels about it, and finally to understand the sources of sin and what leads people to sin. So in overview, what we're talking about is, in order to overcome a problem, it's important to have some understanding of what that problem is so that effective steps can be taken to move beyond it. In the case of sin, what we'll find is that it's so deeply ingrained in human nature that we just simply cannot overcome it by ourselves. So we need a saviour to save us from sin. But there are many things that people believe to be sin which are not, and when you understand these things, it'll make life easier and you will learn how to cope and also how to use the power of the Holy Spirit to overcome sin. So I want to start today in the book of Romans, chapter 5, and I'm reading verses 12 and 13. And this is what it says. Therefore, as sin came into the world through one man, and death through sin, and so death spread to all men because all men sinned, sin indeed was in the world before the law was given, but sin is not counted where there is no law. The first thing we must understand is that sin has been in the world since the very beginning. In fact, sin predates this world, for the devil himself committed the very first sin when he sought to disobey God and stand against God. And of course, his sin was the sin of pride. For people, though, sin began when Adam and Eve fell under the influence of Satan and disobeyed the one commandment that God had given to them. They chose to ignore the word of God and they listened instead to their own desires under the deceitful influence and the lies of the devil. We will see that one of the worst forms of sin is to break God's law shortly, but what we must understand is that sin actually predates the law as given to Moses. Sin is the inherent and the inherited desire to reject God and to follow our own way, just as Adam and Eve did. So the second verse I want to look at is over in Psalm chapter 51, and I'm reading verse 5. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Sin is not something that happens as we grow older. It's not just when we do wrong that we come under the influence of sin. All of the people on this world are born under the power of sin and under the power of evil. From our first breath, we are under the power and the influence of sin. Many people wonder how a baby could die when they have done nothing either good or evil. But when we realise that we are born and even conceived to be under the power of sin, which leads to death, and it's not about what we may do or not do, but who and what we are, that we begin to see the depth and the pervasiveness of sin in human beings. Sin is inherent in every person right from the very first breath, from before the very first breath. So when people die, and when babies die in particular, it's not because they've sinned or they haven't sinned, it's just that sin happens to be part of who they are, same as it is with everyone else. Over in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1, we see this. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with perseverance the race that is set before us. What the writer here is speaking about is sin that clings so closely. Sin clings to people because it is a part of human nature. We are born into sin from the beginning, and it is part of our very nature to sin. Man has the ability to make choices to do right or wrong. Many times, man chooses to do the wrong thing because he may feel like it. He may think it will be less painful. He may even believe it will help in a given circumstance, or he may be subject to pressure from outside to do what is wrong. Regardless of the reasons, man often chooses to do what is wrong and so suffers sin and the consequences that go with it. Sin clings so closely because it is like a second skin. Sin is part of who and what man is. That is why the writer in Hebrews said, sin that clings so closely. But he also says we need to lay aside these weights. And in Jesus Christ, there is a way that we can actually do that. But we'll come to that later on in these podcasts. The next verse I want to look at is in Proverbs chapter 21, just one verse in verse 4. It says, "Haughty eyes and a proud heart, the lamp of the wicked, are sin." Here are two of the worst things that lead to sinfulness. Satan fell from God's grace because he sinned, and his sin was the sin of pride. It was pride that caused the fall of Satan, and often it's pride in a man that causes him to sin. Pride, arrogance, haughtiness, and the like precede so many actions that it's fair to say these are the precursors for many of the sins which afflict man. Consider that if we are called to be obedient to God, what is it that causes us to reject God and disobey? Is it not pride? Is it not because we are proud and choose to do things our way that leads us to think we are right and God is wrong? That is pride in actions, and many times sin is pride in action. The next verse is in the first letter of John, chapter 3, and I'm reading from verses 4 down to verse 10. "Everyone who commits sin is guilty of lawlessness. Sin is lawlessness. You know that he appeared to take away sins, and in him there is no sin. No one who abides in him sins. No one who sins has either seen him or known him. Little children, let no one deceive you. He who does right is righteous, as he is righteous. He who commits sin is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the works of the devil. No one born of God commits sin, for God's nature abides in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. By this it may be seen who are the children of God and who are the children of the devil. Whoever does not do right is not of God, nor he who does not love his brother." There is also a sin which is based on doing right and wrong as defined in the law of God. When this verse that I just read says, "sin is lawlessness," it speaks about those who reject the law and break it to their own ends. Sin is lawlessness. Sin is the breaking of the law. No sinner can see or know God, for when they sin, they reject the ways of God. When we break God's laws, just as Adam and Eve broke God's law, we reject God and are rejected by him. Just as he cast Adam and Eve out of his presence in the garden, so too he casts sinners out of his presence. To be righteous is to do what is right as defined in the law. To sin is to reject the wisdom of God in the law and to break the law. We're fortunate that in Jesus Christ, God has given us the opportunity to be removed from sin and the law, but more about that in a later lesson. And actually, in the foundation sessions that I did prior to this, you'll pick up most of this. If you've listened to those already, well, you will understand that there is freedom from sin, freedom from law in Jesus Christ. If not, we're going to come to that again a little later on in one of the future podcasts. The next scripture is in 1 John chapter 5, verse 17, where it says, "All wrongdoing is sin, but there is sin which is not mortal. A mortal sin is one that is immediately punishable by death under the law. Some examples are murder, adultery, homosexuality, sorcery, and there are others. All of those things under the laws of Moses were punishable by death. But most sins are not punishable by immediate death. However, what we see in this verse is that the key to what sin is here is about the doing of the action. It says all wrongdoing is sin. Not wrong thinking necessarily, but wrongdoing. It's the actions that's important. Evil desires, passions, lusts, emotions, anger, envy, and so on are not sin until they are acted upon. It becomes sin when the action is committed. If it were the thoughts that were sin, then every person on earth would need to be hung or sent to the electric chair for evil thoughts. How many times have we thought, or how many times have we even said, "I'm going to kill that person"? Might have even said it to our kids, "I'm going to kill that kid," when they've done something wrong. The thoughts are sinful, but it doesn't become sin until the action is committed. Even Adam and Eve, who listened to the devil and were thinking over what the devil proposed, did not sin until they took action by picking and eating the forbidden fruit. So sin is in the behaviour and the actions a person takes. In the New Covenant, we are brought to a higher standard meant to bring a person to perfection. So we need to learn how to overcome the actions, and we do that by overcoming the thoughts, and be more on that in a later podcast. One of the things that's probably worth thinking about in relation to this point about it's not the thought that's sin, but it's the actions, is back in Genesis, when Cain and Abel were on the earth, we know that Abel gave an offering to God. He was a keeper of sheep, and he provided an offering to God, and his offering was accepted. Cain, who was a tiller of the land, he was a farmer, and he farmed and grew grains of some type. He also offered an offering to the Lord, and it wasn't accepted by the Lord. And there's a reason why. Because Abel offered the first fruits. The first fruits, the first of the lambs that were born in his flock, is what he offered to the Lord. And that's important, because if you offer the first fruits, well, there may not be second fruits. So it was an act of faith. It was an act of pure faith to say, well, Lord, if I give these to you, I believe that you will replace them, and there will be second fruits and third fruits and fourth fruits and so on. In Cain's case, it says that he gave some of the crop, an offering of some of the crop. It wasn't the first fruits. He may have had a barn full of bags of grains of wheat or something like that, and he just sort of said, oh, well, grab a few of those bags and we'll go and offer those to the Lord. There was no faith involved in that. And so that was the difference. Now, the Lord rejected Cain's offering, but he accepted Abel's offering, because Abel's offering was based on faith. Now, what he then said is Cain got angry. It says his countenance fell. I'll just read that section in Genesis. It comes in Genesis chapter 4, and it's worthwhile reading that so that we can get it right. In the course of time, Cain brought to the Lord an offering of the fruit of the ground. I'm reading Genesis chapter 4 from verse 3. And Abel brought the firstlings of his flock and of their fat portions, and the Lord had regard for Abel and his offering, but for Cain and his offerings he had no regard. So Cain was very angry, and his countenance fell, and the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry, and why has your countenance fallen? If you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin is couching at the door, its desire is for you, but you must master it. So what we see in this is that sin wasn't there in the thoughts, because Cain was already angry, his countenance had fallen, he was probably thinking about killing his brother at that point in time, but he hadn't acted on it. And as the Lord said, he says, if you do well, will you not be accepted? It didn't matter that he hadn't been accepted on the previous one. He says, well, if you do it right next time, if your offering is done on the basis of faith next time, then you'll be accepted. It says also, though, he said in that verse 7, Genesis 4, verse 7, he says, and if you do not do well, sin is couching at the door, its desire is for you, but you must master it. And this is the same for all of us today. If we don't do well, if we get angry, if we get upset, if we get envy, if we get jealous, if we have any of the passions and lusts and desires rise up in us, those things are going to make us think not well. You know, we will not do well. But provided we don't act on those things, we haven't committed sin, just as Cain at this point in time hadn't committed sin. And as the Lord said, its desire is for you. Sin's desire that is within us is to try and overtake us and to try and make us do the wrong thing. But as the Lord said, but you must master it. And that's the same for us. Now, we can't master sin by ourselves, but we do have the Holy Spirit that has been given to us to be able to master sin in our lives. And there is a process by which we're able to do that, and the Lord has given us that process so that we can master and so that we can overcome sin in our lives. The next scripture I want to look at is in the book of James, and it's chapter 1, and I'm reading verses 13 to 15. Let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted by God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, and he himself tempts no one. But each person is tempted when he is lured and enticed by his own desire. Then desire, when it is conceived, gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. This is a significant point about how sin comes about. We are not tempted by God. That's the first thing. What we are tempted by is the passions, desires, and lusts of our own human nature, of the nature of the flesh. It's our passions that lure us and lead our thoughts to reject God's will and choose the path of disobedience that leads to sin. Just as Cain was led astray by his anger, his passions of anger that led him astray, and he went out and he killed his brother Abel. Now note, these passions and desires are not sin by themselves. But if they're left unchecked, they can lead us to fall into sin. These desires, driven by pride and the failures of humanity within us, bring forth sin. Desires, passions and lusts are the precursors to sin. Thus, if we are to overcome sin, we must overcome these evil desires. But no man can do this alone. It's only through following the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ and by the working of the Holy Spirit within us that sin can be defeated and these sinful desires that lead to sin can be overcome. The next scripture is a good example, actually. It's in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 26 and 27. It says, "Be angry, but do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and give no opportunity to the devil." So here's an example of one emotion, anger, and we saw the anger and the wrath of Cain earlier, but this is an example of one emotion, the emotion of anger, that may lead to sin. What's important to note in this verse is that anger itself is not sin, but left unchecked, it may lead to sin. And it's the same with all other desires and all other emotions and all other passions and all the lusts. By themselves, they are sinful, but only when they cause you to do wrong, to act on the emotion, then they become sin. Even God was described as being angry at times, and he's also described as being a jealous God, and God never sinned. So too, we must learn to control our anger and our other emotions, our passions, our lusts and desires, if we're to overcome sin. In the book of James chapter 4, verse 17, we see this word: "Whoever knows what is right to do and fails to do it, for him it is sin." Again, we see it's about both the knowing and the doing of a thing that is or is not sin. When a person knows what the right thing is that they should be doing and they don't do it, then it's sin for them. Sin is about the physical and the fleshly state of man. We will all die in the flesh because we've all sinned. But life is offered to the spirit of man through Jesus Christ, such that even though our bodies will waste away and die, our spirits can remain alive because of the free gift of righteousness given through the grace of God by faith in Jesus Christ. As Paul wrote in Romans 8, verse 10, saying, "But if Christ is in you, although your bodies are dead because of sin, your spirits are alive because of righteousness." And it's a ministry to the Spirit, is the ministry of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, the last verse I want to look at is in John chapter 8, verse 34. Jesus answered them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who commits sin is a slave to sin." And this is the final problem of sin for man. All of mankind is in slavery to sin. All men sin and have sinned, and so are under an evil and harsh master, and that master is sin. All people are born into slavery to sin and will die in slavery to sin because no man can set himself free from sin and break the shackles that bind so tightly. There is a way to break free, and that's through Jesus Christ, which we'll deal with later. But for man in this world, and that's what we're talking about in this first of the five walks in Salvation Road, which is the walk without Christ, for man in this world, there is no escape from the slavery of sin unless and until they come to Jesus Christ. So I've got a few questions that you might want to consider. Do you understand that sin has always been in the world and that all mankind suffers under slavery to sin? Secondly, can you see that the precursors to sin are the passions and desires that lead to evil thoughts that then come forth as action, and it's the action that is sin? Thirdly, do you now recognise that emotions by themselves are not sin until they are acted upon? Note, this does not mean these emotions are okay, just that they are not sin. Because we need to control those emotions through the power and the working of the Holy Spirit if we are to overcome sin in the flesh. And fourth, can you see that the path to preventing sin is through taking control of your passions and evil desires and the thinking they lead to? And you'll need the Lord's help to be able to achieve this. So a couple of little calls to action. Firstly, consider, what are the things that cause you, personally, to do the wrong thing and to think evil thoughts? What triggers these things? Also, what do you currently do to stop those thoughts and desires? And thirdly, when you feel these things well up inside of you, you should attack them by praying, reading the Bible, and if you've received the Holy Spirit, if you have the gift of tongues, speaking in tongues. If you don't have that gift, well, we'll come to that later and we'll talk about that in some detail. If these things well up inside of you, attack them by also walking away from the trouble, singing hymns or gospel songs to change your focus and to change your thinking. And by the way, changing your thinking, that's what walking in the Spirit's all about. And all of those things I just mentioned are methods by which you can walk in the Spirit, by which you can take your mind off the thing that is troubling you and put your mind on the things of the Spirit. So just spend a moment in prayer and ask the Lord to highlight any sources of sinfulness in your life and to help you overcome them as you walk with Him. And also thanking that you are not condemned for sin as you stand in the grace of God. And pray that He will show you the way that you can be set free from sin, set free from the law, because this is real and this is a gift that He has given to everyone who comes to Christ if they will accept it through faith. So that's it for what is sin. So there are some things that are sin, some things that aren't sin. I hope that gives you a bit of insight. In the next session, we're going to look at one of the key forces identified that gives sin power, which was the law. So in the next lesson, we're going to take a look at the law of God to understand what it is, why it was given, and what we can learn from it. And later on, we'll look at why we need to be separated from the law, which was covered in the foundation teachings to some degree. Because if we're to receive the fullness of all that Jesus Christ offers, we need to be set free from sin and set free from the law, which gives sin its power. So for now, I'd just like to say thank you for joining me, and I hope that you come back and you join me again when we look at the next of these sessions in Walking Without Christ, which is all about the law of God.